me, you, a lot of our friends, a lot of people throughout America and the world this past weekend had a chance to look at Dave Chappelle's new comedy special on Netflix called The Closer. Mm-hmm. And it was a hell of a comedy special because it has everybody talking, whether good or bad, whether for Dave or against Dave. The Closer definitely left a lot of talking points for people around the globe, especially for LGBTQ groups who are against what Dave Chappelle was saying in the special. And I can't remember the name of the organization, but there's a black organization that's pro-LGBTQ that is calling this organization and a lot of other people or individuals, and maybe some organizations, are calling for Netflix to remove Dave Chappelle's special The Closer off of Netflix. That's what they're saying. So I'll say this, and I told somebody this earlier, I say this right now: if Netflix removes The Closer off of its platform because of these people, I will cancel my Netflix account. Straight up. And I think everybody who's in support of Dave Chappelle, we could play this game. We could play this game. So Netflix, y'all have a decision to make. Everybody who's in support of Dave Chappelle and in support of comedy and free speech, if they remove The Closer, you cancel your Netflix account. And I'm dead serious about mine because I don't have to have Netflix. I would cancel my goddamn account. But so go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, so the group is the one of the groups is the National Black Justice Coalition.
Right.
The NBJC.
I never heard of them. Never heard of them before.
And there's also a group of subscribers, obviously, so that are saying that LGBTQ. They're gonna unsubscribe from Netflix as well. So
okay. Well, Netflix is gonna have a decision to make because I'm sure there are more people in support of Dave Chappelle than against him. And I'm sure first of all, they're not taking it off because it's getting so many views.
Yeah.
That's good for them. And they take it off, they're gonna lose more subscribers than they do if they keep it on.
But yeah, I would definitely unsubscribe if they take it off.
I don't have to have Netflix.
No.
And Amazon Prime got a larger selection of movies and stuff anyway, especially black people movies anyway. Shout out to Plug Love. So if y'all ain't seen the movie Plug Love on Amazon Prime, go check it out. But so before we get into the five jokes that got people stirring the most, what was your overall thoughts of the special?
So I thought the first half of it was very funny. And I'll start by saying I'm not a big Dave Chappelle fan, but I can appreciate what Dave Chappelle does on the stage. To me, listening to Dave Chappelle nowadays, especially since he's come back, is a lot like listening to Dick Gregory. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's to me,
like a Dick Gregory, George Carlin mix.
Yeah, like they don't, to me, they never have me in stitches, holding my sides, tearing up, laughing. But they'll say some, like, it's very entertaining. And it causes you to think about things in a different way, which to me is more valuable than a good hard laugh. Although, right, like I said, the first half of this, he said some shit that had me like really laughing.
That boy's stupid. Yeah.
So and in all of his specials, it'll be like two or three jokes that will have me like, I gotta pause this shit because I'm laughing so hard. But for the most part, it's just like I'm very amused and entertained and like I'm thinking about things. And this special was no different. Like I understood having watched the other ones. I knew where he was going. And if you saw the other specials, the other five specials, you knew exactly where this one was going.
This was the culmination.
Right. Especially if you had paid attention to the backlash, and Dave Chappelle has been kind of talking about the backlash in all of his specials.
Yeah. Yeah. So you say something about him, he gonna come at you.
Right. So I enjoyed it, but I'm also somebody that enjoys a lot of comedians that kind of punch back at, you know, this PC society we live in. I love George Carlin. I still listen to Patrice O'Neill shit to this very day. I love all of those comedians that just kind of like, forget, I'm not going to censor myself.
Yeah, I mean, but we look, all right, and I'm gonna say this, and I know we probably gonna get some backlash for this part, but hey, we already know that we don't care, because hell, you can't cancel us. What you gonna do? Stop listening? But this PC culture, and I'll tell you how I felt about the special, but I do want to say this. This PC culture is crazy because, especially for, like, the point Dave Chappelle in this is making is, okay, so we have a group of people, the LGBTQ group, but more specifically within that, the trans community within the LGBTQ community are basically saying, anybody else can, you can crack jokes about anybody else, but you can't crack jokes about us. We can crack jokes about anybody else, and we can laugh at anybody else being having jokes cracked. And this is not everybody, because the trans women that I know have a sense of humor. We crack jokes like this all the time. So shout out to them. But this particular group of people who are upset at Dave Chappelle are basically saying, you can't crack jokes about us. But when he cracked jokes about everybody else, you were laughing. That's mm-hmm. what I don't get with the PC. Politically correct doesn't mean we have immunity and nobody else does. Politically correct. Well, first of all, PC need to get that need to get the hell up out of here. I don't like that PC stuff. I mean, we run around here trying to walk on eggshells and protect people's feelings, but we're more concerned with protecting feelings than lives. That's one of the points he was getting at.
Right. Because the truth of the matter is, like, this whole PC culture is, like, to me, it's kind of representative of how similar the extreme left and the extreme right are.
Yes.
Like yes. Both of them are equally sensitive about the same shit.
Right.
And they're both really ignorant and unhuman almost in the way they like to try to control the narrative in the conversation.
And it's like they want to monopolize trauma and terror and oppression.
Right. And one of the reasons why we can't deal with or solve a lot of these issues is because we can't talk about it honestly. Like, and I don't understand how people keep saying we need to just have open, honest conversations, but then they go out of their way to censor the conversations.
We do. And I'm going to say this. So, especially when a lot of people talk about, they try to say, well, these type of jokes and these type of conversations is what leads to violence against the trans community and deaths against the trans community, right? And do we have actual stats or information or some empirical research, anything to prove that this type of stuff would lead to that type of violence?
Right. Well, we don't. But the interesting part to me is I would argue that it's the response.
But right. But also, it's also narratives that are put out that the way the narratives are slanted as if the people, especially trans women, are being attacked and killed more than anybody else. And if you go look at the statistics, black men and black women, like the number of black women, just black women that were killed in 2020 far outweighs the number of trans women that are killed in 2021. It far outweighs. And like I used to tell you all the time, and I think I saw something earlier and I looked at some stats. I think it was around 28 or 38 trans women so far in 2021 that have been killed. And of course, nobody wants anybody to be killed. But if we're talking about numbers, if we want to put it on the number scale, the number of black women that have been killed in 2021 far outweighs the number of trans women that have been killed. Now,
well, Yeah.
We're not in no victim Olympics. But if you're going to put a narrative out as if this group is oppressed way more than any other group, so this is why we can't say this. Well, no, nah, not really. Not really. Not really.
Well, my argument, and that's where I go back to, is the response. If, because the argument could be made, this is a building thing, right? When Dave Chappelle did his first few specials, he made a couple jokes, everybody laughed, and then the LGBTQ community got upset. And they tried to cancel him. And so he doubled down. And they doubled down. And he doubled down. And they doubled down. And he doubled down again. And they're doubling down. One could argue that if these people could take a joke, and I'm going to use it because I know that it bothers people to hear that being said. If they could take a joke, we wouldn't be in a space where Dave Chappelle is doubling down again and again and again on his jokes. And the narrative is being created that he's homophobic and it's leading to violence against transsexual people. When, you know, like I said, if you look at it from the other side, if they would just ignore it, wave it off, or be able to laugh at it the same way everybody else has to laugh at comedians making jokes about them, the narrative, again, would not be there. As a black person, I listen to white comedians make jokes about black people and all laugh. The time.
But I laugh
at it.
But you are, if you are a person in the trans community and you laugh at jokes about other groups of people, and you have a problem with people making jokes about the trans community, you're a hypocrite.
Right.
You're a flat out hypocrite. Then that means you are incapable. You are not allowed to laugh. And yes, I said it. If you have a problem with your group, somebody making jokes about your group, you can't be laughing about jokes that's made by other groups of people.
Right.
But like you said, we heard so many jokes about black people. We heard black people make jokes about black people, white people make jokes about all types of, if it's a good joke, it's a good joke.
Right. And I, like, we, so one of the reasons I like this new Dave Chappelle, and I know a lot of people are like, he's lost his way, is, again, like, you think about a person's profession, right? It's his job to make things funny.
Social commentary.
And he's considered a legend because he's been able to be on the edge of what's acceptable and make that edge funny. And it's been funny for everybody until he touched this one edge. That one edge can't be... And as a black person in America, I know that my community is also an edge. But when I listen to other black comedians that I feel are up on stage making jokes at our expense, not just like, oh, that's a one, yeah, that's an interesting take, but like I would say they on stage cooning for a laugh,
right,
shucking
right,
and jiving.
Right, right.
At no point in time have I ever been like, they need to cancel this person. No, it's their opinion, is their perspective, and their job is to issue, like you said, social commentary. You don't cancel people for making those kinds of jokes, especially when they've gone out of their way, as Dave Chappelle has done, to say, look, this is a part of my art form.
Yeah. But see, that's why I thought the special was brilliant. Brilliant in a couple ways, because for one, you got people talking again, but you got people thinking as well with this one. And he really, like, the backlash from this special is proving his point. That's what's brilliant about it. It's immediately after people saw it, they went to social media to prove his point that you can treat any other group of people, especially treat black people like shit. In America, nobody cares. Not even the LGBTQ community cares. But let something let a LGBTQ person's feelings get hurt and it's all hell break loose. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's crazy. So that's why I'm saying the special was brilliant, because it brought all of that out and it brought all of that to the table. And once again, we see how hypocritical a lot of people are. And this is not for everybody, because I know for a fact, I know a lot of trans women who saw that and was on the floor laughing, because they get it. Why? Because they are the ones that I know are black. They're black people, they're trans women, and they're black, but they are for the people because they're in the community on a regular basis fighting and working for the people. So they understand, they're not purposely overlooking the struggles of everybody else to just say this struggle is more important. Because if we really want to have a victim Olympics, we win. Black people in America, we win. There's no comparison. There's no competition. If we really want to have a victim Olympics.
Yeah, like I said, I thought that it was very good. The only reason I shy away from using terms like genius and brilliant is because the narrative wasn't shifted. He proved this point, but he proved this point to people that already saw what his point was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that, but I think we do have to talk to more people, so I don't want to assume, but I'm going to assume, and I assume that some people who may have been on the fence may have either looked at this and the light switch came on, or they jumped all the way off the fence.
I think, because again, this, and we talked about this before the show yesterday, one of the things I love about Dave Chappelle right now is he's really doubling down on this whole tribal perspective he has. Everybody's in their own tribe.
That's a problem.
Right. And I think the backlash has shown that, because the people that were against Dave Chappelle, that were in tribes that are against Dave Chappelle, from what I can see, those people have just basically continued on. And the people that's been rocking with Dave Chappelle, like, I haven't talked to or seen an article or read a comment or anything from anybody that said, I didn't really like what Dave Chappelle was doing, but after this last special, I get it. Like, I've never seen that. And I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying, like, for me, most of my preparation for this conversation was reading comments, reading reviews. What are people saying? Because I wanted to know, did it change anything, or is it basically just cementing people in place? And from what I can see, it seems like people are just being cemented.
But I get that.
No, yeah.
But let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
People in America always talk about having conversations to change. But we know they are full of shit, and we know that process is full of shit. One conversation not gonna change you, right? And if it's not in you already, this conversation not gonna put it in you. The humanity has to already be in you. Like, I have to have a conversation. Like, I keep asking people, so you mean tell me you refuse to treat me as a human being until we sit down and have a conversation? That's how much humanity you don't have in you, that you refuse to treat me as a human being until we sit down and have a conversation. For real? That means you full of shit in my book.
I mean, I stopped talking to white people years and years and years ago because I saw it as a pointless endeavor. Conversations don't change shit.
What conversation will we have with white people that's going to make them give up land, power, money, and resources, the purpose of American racism and the slave trade happening? What conversation we going to have to get them to give that up and equally redistribute that with black America? What conversation is going to lead to that?
And at this point, black people themselves don't want to have the conversation because they're uncomfortable by it.
That's why. So these people, no, white people, like my daddy said, crackers.
So I don't, I've been off the conversation because to me, and I've said this before, at best, a conversation will get a person to see you as different.
Right.
It's not going to change their opinion of an entire group. It's going to change their opinion of you and make them think that you're different from everybody else in that group, which is the exact opposite of what you wanted to happen when you started this conversation. If you were doing it righteously, it wasn't so that you're treated differently. It's so that they can see that the entire group is treated differently. But
that's how you know people don't get it.
Yeah. But I like I said, I actually am more of a supporter of Dave Chappelle now than I was before he went to Africa, if we're being honest.
He grew on me over the years.
I think he grew on the black community in general, though. That was the conversation I was talking about in the group.
Because I think, like, especially around the half-baked time and stuff, I think he was seen more as the black dude who he kind of funny, but he fucked with the white boys.
Yeah, he was the black dude for white people. And it wasn't like anybody called him a coon or talked shit about him.
Right, because he wasn't trying to do that.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to do it. Just like they accepted him. But I think the Nutty Professor started getting black people to kind of look at
him. Yeah, absolutely. I credit Eddie Murphy heavy for that.
Then, because Eddie Murphy, Martin put him in Blue Streak. I know Eddie Murphy and Martin and a couple heavy hitter comedians.
The black comedians circled around him and ushered him into the black community.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, like, he started dropping them specials and stuff started coming out. He started to rise. But before we go a little bit too left, I know we know we can talk, but this article is saying these are the five most controversial jokes. And the first one they're saying is addressing previous comments. And I'm just going straight to what he said. And it's saying, I never had a problem with transgender people. If you listen to what I'm saying, if you listen to what I'm saying, clearly my problem has always been white people. Go back tonight after the show. How much do I have to participate in your self-image? You shouldn't discuss this in front of black people. I know niggas in Brooklyn who wear high heels to feel safe. I ask you, why is it easier for Bruce Jenner to change his gender than it is for Cassius Clay to change his name? I'm not even talking about them. I'm talking about us, and they don't listen. What about that makes someone logical mad? Oh, did I use the L word? Logical.
Logically, but.
Because I mean, think about because it's easier for Bruce Jenner to change his sex than it is for Cassius Clay to change his name. But even in that, Bruce Jenner was a woman for 6 months, and the ESPYs gave this grown person an ESPY for woman over the year over a 15-year-old girl who just battled brain cancer, who'd been a woman for 15 years. Bruce Jenner was a woman for 6 months and got woman of the year, not for doing anything as a woman, but just becoming a woman, because the courage he had to become a woman was more courage than any other woman in the world had in their whole lives. He did it in 6 months, even better than the 15-year-old girl who just battled brain cancer. I remember that vividly. I was like, whoa, that's wild. But basically what he's saying is humanity and sex and gender and these things, all these lines are being blurred, but all these things don't matter because white men are still winning. Basically, because I see a lot of this stuff, and I say it all the time. I think it's like the ultimate white male privilege or the ultimate male privilege for a lot of people. Because think about all the conversations we've had or we probably still gonna have about trans women in women's sports that are beating up women and dominating women's sports, and people are trying to defend it. So I mean,
yeah, I think Bruce Jenner has kind of become, or Caitlyn Jenner has kind of become a lightning rod. Like, you can't say anything bad about her, or they're going to come for you.
Man, like, look, people got to stop that. People got to stop that. Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, whatever. Caitlyn was a woman for 6 months. 6 months. And now you are the woman of the year? Because you did what? What significant thing? What was so brave about Caitlyn Jenner doing what countless other people have done on a regular basis? Why does Caitlyn Jenner get the award for Woman of the Year when so Caitlyn Jenner was the only person to change their gender that year? What about trans women who've been trans for the longest, who actually been uplifting and actually doing stuff to improve that community?
But you know that stuff is more about celebrity than anything else.
Well, stop the bull. Well, if it's all about celebrity and all that stuff, stop getting mad when somebody tell the truth.
Oh, well, we can't do that, because then they'd be drawing attention to the fact that it's all about celebrity, and that makes the award itself lose legitimacy.
That's why the ESPYs are full of shit to me right now, because of that. A 15-year-old girl who just battled and beat brain cancer gets beat out by 6 months of womanhood. All right. So the second thing people got mad about was him defending J.K. Rowling. So he's saying they canceled J.K. Rowling. My God. Effectively, she said gender was a fact. The trans community got mad as fuck. They started calling her a TERF. TERF is a term that many critics have applied to J.K. Rowling that stands for trans exclusionary radical feminist. It relates to someone who believes in feminism but does not include transgender women as part of their personal belief or activism on the matter. They look at transgender women the way blacks look at blackface, Chappelle explains. They go, oh, this bitch is doing an impression of me. That's when Chappelle proudly declared that he too identifies to be a TERF. Okay, so how many trans women have actually had conversations with women about how they feel about everything that's going on?
But, like, even here, like, right? Like, if we're going to be honest, this whole conversation about trans women being considered women and not wanting, because that's the thing, right? With TERF, they don't want the argument boiled down to biology. They want to leave it in this gray area of being a social construct. And to me, I think, you know, but then they don't want to have the conversation where you differentiate between sex and gender.
Hold on, though. So, you're saying that they're saying that gender is a social construct.
Yes.
So they're saying it like that because, you know, they say race is a social construct, so race isn't real. So they're going to say gender isn't real.
Yeah, that's what they've been saying. Gender is fluid.
Okay.
So, but, and really, I think the term might really be more about semantics. If Dave Chappelle had said sex is a fact instead of saying gender is a fact, for a lot of these people, that might have been all it took to take the edge off, right? But because he said gender, and they're so bought in on this concept that gender is fluid, it's a social construct, it doesn't boil down to your biology. But to the point I was making before was, to me, that's another example of white men coming into the space with a set of privilege and thinking that
white male privilege all over again. White male privilege all over again. We're going to come into you women's space and take over and tell you women how you're supposed to be women.
I mean, that's what it seemed like to me. And you could argue me down all you want. The fact of the matter is, from my perspective, for a man to transition to a woman and then get mad at other women for not accepting them as a woman, is bullshit. Some, like, that's some misogyny, some patriarchy, male privilege type shit. Ever seen it.
Look, I've had conversations with women, and I've heard countless conversations of women, and a lot of women are not going to say it, but they're not totally cool with trans women. And let me state that correctly. Not saying that they have a problem with trans women overall, but
no,
they have
just not cool with it.
They have a problem with trans women being recognized as more women than them and being able to get all of the same privileges of being a woman without having to deal with everything that comes with being a woman.
Again, we go back to Caitlyn Jenner, who was a super successful male for decades.
One of the greatest athletes of all time.
Right. Got to skip over all of the worst parts of being a woman. And woke up one day, turned himself into a woman, and what was he, in his 50s, 60s?
60s.
60s. 6 months later, is declared the greatest woman alive. I'm sorry, the woman of the year. 6 months later. Like, if that ain't some cut into the front of the line bullshit, I don't know what is.
Because I don't see that happening for black trans women.
No. You don't see it happening for trans men either.
No, you don't. It seems like, well, from what I see, it's relegated to white trans women.
Right. Well,
so what that means is white men.
Right. And that's why I say, well, here's the, like, so, and I don't know, so this is an honest question. Has there been a trans man win man of the year?
No. Just like you don't see trans men in men's sports.
Outside of the one boxer who was in a low-level boxing match and they won the fight. But yeah, they not dominating shit.
Trans men are not getting into men's sport the way trans women are getting into women's sport.
Absolutely.
Because think about what we talked about during the Olympics. Biological women who they said testosterone levels were too high were being harassed by the Olympics, while trans women were given the green light just to go and compete.
Right.
And it's like, how can you look at this and not understand how women are upset? You can't keep pushing women to the side.
No. No, you can't.
I'm just saying.
But
so, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So the next thing is, he was saying gender is a fact. And we said something about this, but he said every human being in this room, every human being on earth had to pass through the legs of a woman to be on earth. That's a fact, Chappelle says in the new special.
More his defending the J.K. Rowling. So right. It's the same joke, yeah.
Right. I am not saying that to say that trans women aren't women. I'm just saying that those pussies that they got, you know what I mean. That's not saying it's not pussy, but it's like beyond pussy, impossible pussy. That's one of the things he said.
I thought that was funny.
It was funny. Now, when he said it, I was like, oh, they're gonna be mad at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, it's like, once again, were you laughing at anything else? Do you laugh at any other jokes?
Well, I'm not even going to give him that, because my thing is like, okay, he said it's beyond pussy or the impossible pussy, right? How many vegans and vegetarians do we know that swear that an impossible burger is better than a real burger?
But you know what? The irony to that is a lot of trans women actually keep their penises. Well, that's the irony in that.
Yeah. Like, if you didn't get a fake vagina, then...
So that means that joke really shouldn't hit the way it hits. If, from my understanding, from this, and this is what was told to me from people within the LGBTQ community and from trans women themselves, for a number of trans women, that most of them keep the penises, because if you don't, transitioning into a vagina, the sex won't be the same. You won't be able to have orgasms.
Yeah. I've heard that as well. I don't know that it's
so true, most of them, a good number of them, keep the penises. So that joke really is hitting on what?
Right. Because, but my thing, even with that, because you're 100% right, that's been from what I've known, what I understand from conversations and reading as well, is that a lot of them keep their penis. But my thing is still, right, he's still not wrong. If you transition and end up getting a vagina, You have a man-made vagina.
It's not going to be a real vagina.
It's right. It's not a natural vagina.
If I go get breasts right now, they're going to be fake breasts.
Right, and that's why I'm like, I don't understand. So now we're getting mad at a joke that is technically telling the truth.
That was the thing about the overall special with me and a lot of the backlash, and we knew he was going to get it, but people are literally mad at the truth. People are mad at the truth.
Like, I would like, and this is one of the things where I really do want to understand it. So in the comment to the podcast or on YouTube, wherever you consume this at, because I don't know, because people be consuming shit everywhere. Leave it, like, really, like, explain to me why this joke is offensive, because I really don't get it. If I go somewhere, like, we say the same thing about real natural born women that get fake asses.
It's a fake booty. Ass. Like, because we can't, we can't go in on black women getting BBLs. And then everybody's all up in arms about the a joke about the LGBTQ community or trans women having fake vaginas. So it's cool to talk about black women doing stuff to their body, but we can't talk about trans women. Why?
And that's why
is it cool for the world to pile on black women for BBLs, but we can't? One joke can't be cracked about fake vaginas. Why is that okay? I want somebody to answer that question. Why is it okay to talk about one group of people, but we can't talk about the other group? And you can't tell me that you can't be, well, protection and violence and all this. No, we look up the stats. Black women are killed at a higher rate, significantly higher rate than trans women. All right, so don't, you can't even use the violence argument. I mean, look here. Okay. Also, like the Megan Tory Lanez shot Megan Thee Stallion in the foot because he was talking about the baby. That's right. Yeah. Because he's talking about how the baby killed somebody in self defense, and everybody want to make sure that is clear that the baby killed somebody in self defense, but. Like that, like, but his point was clear. The baby killed somebody in self-defense, and nobody had a problem with it. Nobody canceled him because it was another black guy. I take it somewhere else. Tory Lanez shot Megan Thee Stallion, and nobody gave a damn. Nobody, well, black women cared, but basically nobody gave a damn that black women cared. Tory Lanez wasn't canceled. Why wasn't Tory Lanez canceled for shooting a black woman? Because I'm so you can't. So what was the name of that Black Justice League?
I know what you're talking about, but my
mind. Whatever the name of the Black Justice League. So you mean, because I've never heard of this organization. So I'm not saying they have never done anything, but I've never heard of it.
The National Black Coalition for Justice.
So if this is you guys' coming out party, y'all might as well stay in your hole, because stuff happened to black people all the time. Because you say the National Black Justice Coalition. So stuff happened to black people all the time. Where were you when Tory Lanez shot Megan Thee Stallion, National Black Justice Coalition? Where were you? Where were you when the young lady Tatiana in Dallas was shot by the police in her own home watching her nephew? Where were you all? Where were you when the young black girl in Oakland was stabbed in the neck by the white boy and killed? Where were you? Now, I'm not saying you wasn't there. I'm just asking where you was. Because if, don't be the loudest now. Because if you're the loudest now, then you're full of shit. That's what I'm saying. But that's one of the points he was getting at. Like, we can't just be all in on, we're going to protect this one group of people and everybody else is vulnerable. Really? And the LGBTQ community as a whole have not been great allies to anybody. That's all I'm saying. So, I mean, once again, if Netflix takes the closer off, cancel your Netflix accounts. I mean, it's comedy, it's free speech, it's thought provoking. We have a right, people have a right to crack jokes, and we have a right to consume jokes. One group of people is not more protected than the other group of people. It's not a victim Olympics. But if it is, the LGBTQ community don't win. And guess what? Go check Stonewall. Go check Stonewall and see how many black people were at the core of making Stonewall happen, at the foundation of Stonewall and making it happen. Go see how many black people were there. All right? There hasn't been significant movements or significant anything in this country without black people. The involvement of black people. Man, y'all better get y'all mind right and study y'all history books and stop following these narratives.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything you want to say before we close this thing out, my brother?
No, man. I mean, I do, but it would just be beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
Look, man, if you don't like something, stop
don't
consuming
watch.
It.
Don't this, watch.
This idea of ruining somebody's ability to take care of themselves, their livelihood. He brought it up about Kevin Hart being taken from his dream job, his dream gig, because of
something
he said 10 years prior. People are literally scrolling through your social media looking for reasons to knock you off of whatever place you found yourself at. And we, right, as a society, are just showing on a daily basis, in my opinion, just how not worthy of being alive we are.
But you know what? Abba and Preach had an episode like that. I don't know if you saw that video, but Abba was on a live stream with this young lady, and she was talking to, she was one of the people who was, and she seemed like she had an epiphany doing this, but before the live stream with Abba, she seemed like she was pro-canceling people because they say something to hurt your feelings. And so she was just like, hey, man, if you ever said something ever in your life, you're supposed to be canceled. So that was like, all right, well, we finna go through your stuff and see what you've done. Because we're sure you've said something that's cancel worthy. So we're canceling you right now. She was like, well, no, don't cancel me. Like, no, wait, no, hold up, stop, wait, hold up, stop. But that was a great example of this cancel culture. They're the holier-than-thou people.
Right.
They're the people who can do no wrong. But I guarantee if we go through everything in your life, there's plenty of stuff we can cancel everybody about. Everybody. Nobody is the clean slate. Nobody is the saint that's walking around that haven't ever offended anyone or haven't ever done anything wrong to anyone. Like, the self-righteousness got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
The thinking that your group of people deserves more of this or more of that than another group of people is bullshit. That plays directly into the system of racism and white supremacy in America. The thinking that your group deserves more or your group is better than another group. That's it right there. That's the racism. That's the white supremacy. That's the supremacist mindset. Anything for those who don't understand racism and the system of white supremacy, what it is and how it operates, anything else that you seek to learn will only confuse you. Neely Fuller Jr. Hey, man, make sure y'all subscribe to this channel. Share this video, like, comment, subscribe, all that. We want to hear y'all. We want to hear from y'all. We want y'all to talk in them comments. Wherever you're consuming this on, you on YouTube, you're on our website, you're on the podcast platforms. We want some comments. We want some people talking back to us. And if you don't want your comment to be public, just hit me in the email. And if you want to send a comment to Pat, just send it to me, joe@freedomtrainradio.com, because he ain't going to answer. He ain't going to look at it. Just send it to me. You got a comment for Pat or both, but just send it to me, joe@freedomtrainradio.com, and I make sure Pat get it. But we really do want some feedback, some commentary on this. And make sure y'all check out our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. You see it at the bottom of the screen. And hey, man, we love y'all, and y'all keep supporting us, and let's keep rocking with truth. And man, we're about the advancement of our people and our society as a whole, because yes, we are for the upliftment and the empowerment of black people, But we also understand that in order for America to get to where it needs to get, that we all have to come together and work together. But we're going to get our stuff together. So when we come together and work together, we can be a strong force. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. Freedom Train Podcast Series, Freedom Train Network. We out this.